This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Fusky.
Bob Mata, defense attorney and host of the podcast Defense Diaries, joining us. Lori Vallow Daybell, her hearing, or not hearing, her sentencing, I should say, is sentencing hearing. There we go. That's the order we put it in. Her sentencing hearing is coming up on July 31st. I'm curious to get your take on what Chad may be contemplating or doing as this is coming up. Is he waiting with bated breath behind the cell right now?
No, I mean, we know what's going to happen. I mean, she's going to get life without the possibility of parole. It's like she's going to, you know, four times over, or what, you know, three times. Mm-hmm. And then she'll get it again in Arizona for Charles.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, like, he knows. The only thing he's waiting with bated breath to find out is if, you know, he can some way get them to take death off the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what he's waiting with bated breath for, you know, which to me is the most interesting aspect of Chad's thing, whether or not if they take it off the table, if he'll just plead, you know, because they have a stronger case against him. Mm-hmm. Just in terms of like direct connecting evidence and like just smoking gun circumstantial evidence.
Yeah.
They did against Lori, and he saw what happened with her. That was just a situation where the totality of the circumstances and the totality of the evidence, even though they didn't have the smoking gun evidence, you know, against her, it was more than enough to convict her on all counts. You know,
yeah.
Even Tammy's death, which they really had nothing connecting her other than the totality of the evidence. You know
sure.
what I mean? Which, like, all of that combined. Are they going to take death off the table? Because there's going to be a push,
mm-hmm.
especially in light of the fact that they couldn't use the death penalty with Lori, you know. And again, the families, they always take into consideration what the families want. You know, I mean, the families don't get to make the call, but they certainly are going to have a say so in it, you know. But like, there's just a lot of considerations, and money is one of them always, unfortunately, in terms of the administration of justice. And in the fact of the matter is, it costs a hell of a lot more to execute somebody than it does to put them in prison for the rest of their life. And that's just a fact. You know, I mean, the appellate process is lengthy and expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It costs a fortune.
That's interesting, because I think a lot of people have this assumption that, well, we're getting rid of them, so they aren't going to cost us all that money. It's actually the opposite is what you're saying.
It is the opposite, you know. And to me, like, without even getting into the morality side of the death penalty,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, just for me, I've always felt, as a person who enjoys his freedom and like, you know, stops to smell the roses
yep.
occasionally, and, you know, realizes that even the mundane things that we do in life are like a blessing, you know, you never have any of that again. And you live in a 6x10 cell for the rest of your life, that there's no worse punishment on the planet than that.
Sure.
Like I'm of the mindset death penalty is the easy way out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like saying, if I had the choice, if I was some kind of like horrific murderer mm-hmm. and I got caught and convicted, I would absolutely want to be put to death, because I would not want to spend the rest of my life in a cage. So, I mean, that it's just my opinion, and it's kind of a different way to look at it, but it's true.
Sure. Know? So do you think that the defense with Chad Daybell are contemplating more so how we're going to maneuver this just to get death off the table? Because it's more of a life or death choice than it is, we're going to get you exonerated on this.
100%. Like, that's the number one goal, you know, like mm-hmm. that, like, they're not, if they have a brain in their head. And I know his lawyer sat in for the entire trial.
Yeah.
So he knows what's up. You know, I mean, there's no winning that case under any circumstances. That is a foregone conclusion case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's 100% what they're trying to do, is they're trying to negotiate, you know, just a life without the possibility times three.
Sure.
You know, four for Charles in Arizona. Because he'll, you know, it's going to be the same thing. Eventually with Chad.
So. I guess the big question with it would be, does Chad believe that what he did was wrong, that would enable him to say, yeah, go ahead, let's plead guilty? Or is he so far down the rabbit hole, which I don't know that he is, that it, he, you know, he's believing that everything was right and he's not guilty and he's not going to take any sort of plea and he'll risk his life for it for the greater cause of, you know, his infinite repeat lives.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you listen to our series that we did on Valo, you know that's exactly what I thought about Lori.
Yeah.
My position on her is that she completely believes everything that they were preaching. Mm-hmm. Completely. I thought that she was sitting in that courtroom, and I may have said it on one of our other episodes that we've done together.
Yeah.
Completely sitting there just saying to herself that this is all for naught. You know, the end of days is coming in March of 2024. So go ahead, convict me. You know, because we know that, you know, and I think I told you about that carve out that they have where you can't plead, you know, not guilty by reason of insanity because they got rid of it in Idaho in 92, you know, but they did carve out this little statute where you can attack the mens rea portion of any statute, any criminal statute. And in this sense, if I'm her defense attorney, I'm saying, okay, look, Lori, this is what we're going to do. You know, I need to be able to get you in front of a forensic psychologist or psychiatrist and have them evaluate you. Because if you truly believe that you weren't even killing your kids, that you were just killing like vessels in order to get these demons out so that your kids' spirits and souls could go up and, you know, live happily up there, you know, and in your mind, if that's true, then what you do with that statute is you put those people in. On the stand and you have them testifying that, look, she really believes this. She didn't think she was killing a human being, which is required. It's one of the required elements of the statute.
Yep.
Like, you know, and it's like whether or not the jury's buying that is an entirely different story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when my dad tried the Gacy case, it was an insanity defense case, you know, and they didn't care. They're like, you killed 33 boys.
Yep.
You're going down. You know what I mean? Whether you're insane or not, you know, so it's like you have what's correct, maybe under the law. And then you have what juries are going to do because they feel that's what's just.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but I mean, it certainly would have been a defense and it certainly would have been a defense. And it certainly is a defense that Chad can employ.
Yeah.
You know, but the fact that Lori told her lawyers, I'm not letting you do that, spoke volumes to me that she really does believe it. Like that was the main thing that made me believe that she believes everything that they were preaching was by way of her. And we know because her lawyers went on record saying that she's not allowing us to use this.
Yep.
Because it was her choice.
Yep.
You know, it was her choice in terms of what defense they were going to employ. Like just like it would be if they had the insanity defense there and she had said, no, I'm not allowing you to do it because I'm not insane.
Yeah.
You guys, you're all insane. Like you're just not listening to what we're telling you and you're all crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, you'll see when the end of days comes, you know, like that type of thing. So, but yeah, that's an interesting aspect of Chad's case. You know, if he is going to go, that's the only like to trial. That's the only way that I could see him even contemplating doing it.
It'd be like the only angle that could possibly go.
Only angle. Dude.
And I feel like, I totally agree. I think she's been on board from till the very end of that trial. The fact that she didn't want them to throw Chad under the bus or herself under the bus as they did in the closing statements. But I completely agree that Chad, though, I don't know that Chad's as invested in this as she is. I think he may be able to turn that switch on and off. Which I
agree. Well, look, man, Chad. He way outkicked his coverage with her. Like he's first with her and you know, and stress will do that to you as well. But you know, I mean, she was like substantially better looking than he was. Like, mm-hmm. I think he had a very different motivation than she did. That's why I always had her nailed as the puppet master.
Mm-hmm.
Plus he's just not smart enough.
Yeah.
You know, like he strikes me as kind of a doofus. You know, so
sure.
I mean, like, yeah, I think that he would very easily pivot if he thinks it's going to save his life and, or, you know, potentially get him in a mental hospital as opposed to prison. So
this is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Bob Mata, thank you so much for joining us and giving us your insight. His podcast called Defense Diaries. Check that out. Hey, if you are liking this program and you want access to all of it ad-free, Check it out on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe there and binge away. No ads. Keep going all day, all night. Yeah. You can even try it for 3 days free right now on Apple Podcasts. You can follow me if you're on Twitter at Tony B Pod. Tony B Pod on Twitter. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.